This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. They come from throughout eastern North America, but seem drawn to New York City. They move in. They settle down. Then they start killing the local residents and eating them. While it sounds like the plot of a new Stephen King novel, it's actually the latest chapter in an environmental success story, The Resurgence of the Endangered Peregrine Falcon. Brad Klein reports on the effort to bring the rare predatory birds back from the edge of extinction.
Chris Nadareski is a sort of peregrine falcon social worker for New York's Department of Environmental Conservation. His work has taken him far from pristine wilderness areas and into New York City. Throughout the spring, he makes the rounds of New York's 9 falcon nesting sites, like this one, under the roadway of the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
Keep the faces away from the grating.
Just before dawn, Nadareski removes an access grate and climbs down as the adult female screams an alarm, then reluctantly leaves the nest. He and 2 volunteers are here to band this year's chicks that are living on a 5-foot square ledge under the bridge. One step backwards, and it's 200 feet straight down into New York Harbor. The nest contains 3 healthy chicks covered with white down and pin feathers. Nadareski quickly fastens a metal band around each small talon as the adult birds fly angrily around the bridge's center span.
04. We're just lucky here because the nest is enclosed and the adults don't have a direct line of attack onto us when we climb out there.
Exposure to the pesticide DDT devastated the population of peregrine falcons in the 50s and 60s. But the last 20 years have seen one of the most successful efforts to reintroduce an endangered species to its former range. Still, Nadareski says there are less than 100 breeding pairs in the eastern United States, and nearly 10% of these birds choose to live in New York City.
The available prey, the relatively mild winters, and the suitable perching and roosting ledges on all these buildings and bridges make it ideal for the falcons.
There's another advantage to city living. The falcons here prey mostly on pigeons. While most New Yorkers think of street pigeons as anything but clean, Nadareski says at least they're largely free of pesticides.
Pigeons are essentially non-migratory, which means that most likely they're going to have little contact with DDT and its metabolites, which are the primary reason the falcon was extirpated from the wild in this part of the country.
On the other hand, urban life has its dangers. Take the story of Falcon K25K. She was born in 1989 at Manhattan's New York Hospital. Not in the hospital, but on a ledge high up on the building's side. K, as she was known to the hospital's staff, was the first New York-born falcon known to successfully nest in the city. She found a mate, moved to Brooklyn, and started raising 2 chicks on a bridge within sight of Coney Island. Dr. John Aronian, a surgeon at New York Hospital, has monitored falcons there as a volunteer since 1987.
She holds a special spot because she was one of the females that I had done a mini rescue on last year and gotten her out from being trapped under the net on the tennis court on the roof of the hospital.
He and other volunteers were dismayed to learn that Kay was killed a few weeks ago, apparently hit by a car.
I just find them such wonderful creatures that to lose one to the hazards that we create as opposed to natural hazards, it's just that much harder. If they succumb to a great horned owl or to a golden eagle in their natural environment, that's God's will, but I don't like to see one of them run over.
Kay's mate in Brooklyn has continued feeding their 2 chicks, but they recently fell from their nest prematurely and had to be rescued by volunteers. Chris Nadareski says those young birds need human assistance until they can fend for themselves.
Not that we shouldn't provide that kind of intervention. It was only because of us that the peregrine falcon population was essentially wiped out. So it's actually up to us, it's our responsibility to provide some time, some money, some input into restoring a species back to where it's basically from.
One of Nadareski's favorite falcon viewing spots is at the very top of the Chrysler Building. A pair of birds nest nearby, and they spend hours perched at the base of the metal spire that tops this Art Deco skyscraper. This must be the best perch in the world. On a clear day, a falcon sits and looks over her nest, and over more than 1,000 square miles of New York and New Jersey. She looks down on the homes of over 7 million people and a lifetime supply of pigeons. For National Public Radio, I'm Brad Klein in New York.